Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Nun Vov. We had seen in the Mishnah practices done by the Anshei Yericho. 3 of them were acceptable and 3 were not acceptable. Of those that were not subject of protest, namely Shelo Michu Biyodam, Markivin Dekolim Kolayom, the 14th of Nisan, the whole day of the 14th of Nisan, they could have been engaged in this process called Markivin Dekolim. When we learned the Mishnah in our previous year, we referred to this as a tree treatment. Generally speaking, Markivin is associated with the process of grafting. However, here the first of two opinions in the Gemara will express something that seems to be other than grafting in the conventional sense. Hence we use the term tree treatment. So the Gemara asks, Hefi Avdi, how was it done? What were they doing when it says Markivin Dekolim? Markivin Dekolim are palm trees. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, you see the diamond is featured. These are Shnei Deos Mahu Harkovas Dekolim, two opinions as to what this procedure was. So we continue. Omar Rav Yehuda, he represents the first opinion. Maisi Aso Dora, one would bring an Aso as a myrtle branch, more commonly known as Hadassim, like is that has of Sukkis fame. Dora, Aso Dora is a fresh Aso branch. Veshichra de Daphna. Daphna is a type of tree. Shichra is beer. Beer made using that tree as its basis. Rashi says, Shecho shel eit shikorin, the use a French word. Vedalin bo pri shikorin, another French word. So it's beer made from that tree. Vekimcha de Sairi, de Romi bemona, de lochalfiole, arboin yoimin. Kimcha de Sairi is Kimcha's kemach, flour. De Sairi, a barley flour that was placed in a vessel. And there were no more than 40 days that passed since the barley was ground into flour. Umarsechi lehu, and this concoction, we'll say, was boiled up. The shodu lehu ledikla belibe, and then it was poured into the heart of the palm tree. The chol dekoi ba'arba amos didei, and any tree that's within 4 amos of that tree. Ilo avdi lehochi, if this procedure is not done for it, sovi la'alter, will immediately dry up. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Omar, this is another approach, and Rashi says, Rav Acha Brei de Rava Omar, lav hainu markivin de masnisen, what was just described is not markivin of the Mishnah, but rather, and he gives, you'll see, he gives a more traditional explanation as to what markivin is, the idea of grafting a branch from one tree onto another tree. So he says, well, first we'll read the Gemara. He says, Manchi kufra dichra lenukvisa. Now, Rashi has a somewhat elaborate explanation. Actually, Rashi has 2 pshatim. A little more than halfway down this Dibur HaMaschil, you see a Loshon Acher. Let's read the Loshon Acher of Rashi. Kufra, the term Kufra is Dichra, or Kufra Dichra, that is, the Kufra Dichra Anaf Rach Shel Dekel Zohar. This is a fresh branch from a male palm tree. The palm trees appear in 2 varieties. You have male and female. So here we're taking the branch of a fresh branch from a male palm tree, Markivo Besedek Shel Dekel Nekeva, and then it's inserted into a crack in a female palm tree, Mitneshadekel Nekeva Enoisoperos. The female palm tree does not produce fruits. Vazachorim Oisin Peros. It's the male tree that produces fruits, but to get the best out of things is you would take you would graft the branch from the male palm tree into a female palm tree. We turn back to the Gemara, Vakorfin es Shema. This was another one of their practices. that we saw in the Mishnah at the bottom of Nun Hey Omid Beis, and this was again Lo Michu Biyodam. What were they doing? Hechi Avdi, what is Korchin Eshema? Omar Rav Yehuda. You'll notice we have a double underline, because here too, on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. The double underline are Amoroyim, Rav Yehuda and Rava. You have Beis Deus Amoroyim, Rav Yehuda and Rava, the Mahu Korchin Eshema. Two opinions as to what this is. So Omar Rav Yehuda, Omrim Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they would say that passage that hopefully every one of us that are listening to this shiur is familiar with, that the daily the twice daily recitation of what we call the Kriya Shema, the Loi Hoyu Mafsikin. Now there are different pshatim as to what that means. The translation is, and they didn't pause. So Rashi's pshat on that is, after saying Echod, they immediately said V'ohavto es Hashem. And Rashi explains, and let's take a look at the Rashi together. Lo hoyu mafsikin, the lower part of the narrow lines, bein Echod l'V'ohavto. The tzorch laharich be'Echod, one is supposed to pronounce the word Echod in a somewhat elongated fashion, and to ponder the meaning and the depth of that, of what we call Kabbalah Olmach Shema, where one accepts upon himself the yoke of heaven, ulahafsik bein kabolas malchus shemayim l'dvorim achirim, and one should then pause between that and other matters, which are reflected in the next, in the continuation of the passage. Shekol echod mekabel olav v'yomer echod hu elokeinu, when one says echod, he's accepting upon himself the solitary oneness, singleness of the Almighty. The Posuk Rishon, that's what you are engaged of when you are thinking about, when you're reading the first verse. Posuk Sheni, the V'ohavta passage, Loshon Tzavohu, that's a command, that you shall love the Almighty, etc., as the passage indicates. So there are different themes in the opening verse, Shema Yisrael, and the second, and the continuation. And as far as the Anshei Yericho are concerned, they did not pause. So, as the Mishnah says, okay, so that maybe they should have paused, but it wasn't something that aroused the protest of the sages. There is a Tosfos here that comments, Lo hayu mafsikin, bein Shema Yisrael, Lashem. Demashma de'oimer, Lashem, sheyishma Yisrael, v'yanem. So that it's like, when you, if what they did is they said, Shema Yisrael Hashem, but the more correct reading would be Shema Yisrael, and then pause, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But the way they pronounced it is it sounded as if they were commanding the Almighty to listen, to hearken unto the Jewish people, which is of course not the case. So that's the Lo Hayu Mafsikin between the word Yisrael and Hashem. Rava Omar Mafsikin Hoyu. Rava has a different shot. He says they did pause. Elo Shelo Elo Shoyu Oimrim Hayoim Al Levovecha. The Pasuk says Asher Nochi Mitzavecha Hayoim Al Levovecha, and the Mashma Hayoim Al Levovecha Velo Mochor Al Levovecha. Without the proper pausing in the recitation, If they were to have said, and which is what they did, Asher Anochi Mitzavecho Hayom, that which I command you today, leaving room to infer today, yes, but tomorrow, no, which is of course false. The Gemara continues, Tonu Rabbonon, Ketzad Hoyu Korchen Es Shema. Here we have a Tanaic source that deals with this very topic, and it says, Omrim, they would say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, V'lo Hoyu Mafsikin, Divrei Rebbe Meir. So this is what we saw already. We saw the Gemara offer this as a pshat in the name of Rav Yehuda, the Amuro Rav Yehuda. Here you see this in the name of the Tano Rebbe Meir. And as far as what Lo Hoyu Mafsikin means, we already saw Rashi's explanation and the Tosfos explanation. Rav Yehuda Omer Mafsikin Hoyu Elo Shelo Hoyu Oymer Boruch Shem Kevoid Machuso Liolam Voed. This would appear to be a new explanation as to what Korchin is. They said Shema Yisrael, they said the opening passage, the opening verse, but did not insert the expression of Boruch Shem Kavod Machuso L'Olam Vod, which we practice, we say this in a more muffled or quiet fashion. The Anan Mai Taimo Amrin Alei. Why is it that we do in fact say that passage, that verse, Boruch Shem Kavod Machuso L'Olam Vod, when in fact, when you look in the Torah, in the Parshas Vo'eschanon, where the paragraph of Shema Yisrael appears, this phrase does not appear. It's not part of the Torah's portion of Shema. So the question is, why do we say it? So the Gemara gives an answer, and you'll notice this takes a number of lines to develop. Kededorish Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish. As Reish Lokish explains, the Omar Rav Shimon Lokish, he quotes the pasuk at the end of Sefer Breishis, Vayikro Yankev El Bonav Vayomer Hesfu Vagido Lochem. And Yankev Avinu, when he was about to pass away, he assembled all of his sons. Bikesh Yankev Legalus Levonov Ketz Hayomin. Yankev Avinu wanted to reveal what it would be like, or more accurately, when the end of days, when the final redemption will take place. V'nistalko mimenu shchino, and the divine presence departed from him. In other words, his knowledge, his foreknowledge of Ketz Hayomin was of course dependent upon his having the divine presence upon him. But as soon as he was about to reveal this to his sons, the divine presence left him. Omar. Now Yankov Avinu felt that something just happened, that the Shechina left him. Now, and he tried to understand, why did that happen? Shemo chas v'sholom yesh b'mitosi psul. Maybe amongst my, mitosi literally is my bed, it means my descendants, there is someone that is unfit. Posel is someone who's unfit. Ke'avroam shiotzimenu Yishmael. Maybe I am like my grandfather, who had a son that was questionable, we'll say at the best. It was, who was unfit, namely Yishmael. The Avi Yitzchok, and like my father Yitzchok, maybe I'm like my father Yitzchok, shiotzimenu Esav, that had a son Esav. And because I have an offspring that's not fit, so that would be reason for the divine presence to leave me. Omru lo bonav. So his sons, who had been assembled around him, said, Shema Yisrael. Now Yisrael is a name of Yankov Avinu. It's one of his, it's another name that he had. So they're saying unto their father, listen, our father, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. The Almighty is our Almighty, and He is one and solitary and unified. And a declaration of their total subservience and acceptance of the Almighty as the one and only all-powerful entity. Omru, so they said to him, Kishem she'ein b'libcho elo echod, just like in your heart there is only one God, so kach ein b'libenu elo echod. Likewise, in our hearts, he is one and only. Ba'oisusha posach Yankov Avinu v'amar. At that point, he reacted and said, Baruch Shem Kevoid Machuso li'olam v'ed. Blessed be the honored kingdom of the Almighty forever. So that was Yankov Avinu's reaction to their declaration of acceptance of the Almighty. Amri Rabbonon. So now the Rabbonon, who formulated the way we daven, said, Hey Chinavid, well, what should we do? Nomrehu, should we say Boruch Shem Kivod Machso as part of the Shema passage? Well, how can we say it? Lo Omro Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not record it in the Torah. Lo Nomrehu, should we not say it? Omroi Yankov, but Yankov Avinu did say that. Hiskinu shiu oimrim oisei b'chashoy. So the rabbis established that it shall be said, but in a chashoy, in a quiet fashion. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Amri debei Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Yitzchok says that they say in the Yeshiva of Ami, Moshal, an analogy of what we just learned, Labas Melech, Shirichot Sike Kedera, that she smelled some seasoned meats and had a great desire. This, we were talking about the princess had smelled from the royal kitchen some very desirable cooked meat. And she said, "Im tomar, if I say I want some, I want to eat, yesh lo gnai, that is considered embarrassing or negative. Lo tomar should, if she remains quiet and doesn't ask for a portion, yesh lo tsar, she'll experience pain that she has this desire for it and isn't going to do anything about it. Hischilu avodel lo avi lo b'chashoy, so her." Her servant started to bring her portions of this meat in a quiet fashion, so that she wouldn't, at the one hand, wouldn't be embarrassed, and on the other hand, wouldn't experience the pain. Omar Rabbi Avo, Hiskinu Shiu Omrim Oso B'Kol Ram Mipnei Tarumas Haminim. Rabbi Avo said that later they established that it shall be said in a fully audible tone because of the minim. The minim are the scoffers, the heretics that would say about our quiet recitation, oh, they must be mumbling something that's not proper, so as to save face and save our self-respect in the face of the tarumes haminim, the disparaging remarks of the scoffers. So it was established, Rabbi Avo established, that it shall be said out loud. Uvenhardo deleko minim ad hashto amri lo b'chashoy. And in the community of Naharda, where till now there are no minim, so the original custom was maintained that it would be recited in a quiet fashion. And one can of course see the connection between the Gemara and our practice today. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a long Tanaic source which in effect goes through a lot of what we saw already, the six practices of the Anshei Richo. In this source, we will be featuring Rabbi Meir's presentation of the six, and then Rabbi Yehuda's reaction. And hopefully things will be clear as we go through the source. On the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, you can see Shisha Dvorim, Shel Anshei Richo, Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Meir says three were Beratzon Chachomim and three Shalo Beratzon. Rabbi Yehuda says Shneim Hoyu Shalo Beratzon. Rabbi Yehuda's approach is that both groups were not Beratzon. Rather, three were Lo Michu and three Michu. This is what we saw actually in our Mishnah. None of the practices were acceptable, were praiseworthy, or done with the approval. However, the list is split into those that were the subject of protest and those that the Chachamim remain silent on. Tonu Rabbonan, Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshei Yericho. Shlosha Beratzon Chachamim Ushlosha Shalo Beratzon Chachamim. Six practices were done by the people of Yericho. Three were with the acceptance of the sages, and three were without their acceptance. The Elu Beratzon Chachamim, the following three were with their Ratzon, with their will and acceptance. Markivin Dekolim Kol Hayom V'Korchin Es Shema V'Koitzrin Lifnei Ha'oimer. Now, the first two we've discussed already. The third was they would harvest their grains before the Omer. The Omer, we've mentioned already in the past, is a grain offering that was brought on the 16th of Nisan in order to allow, it was called a matir, to create permission to benefit from the new crop of grains. The Elu Shalo Beratzon Chachamim. The following were their practices. three of them that were without the approval of the Chachamim. Goychin lifnei ha'omer, they would pile up their grains before the omer. Uportsin protzus beganeseim uvefardeseim lachil nishar laniim b'shnei batzoras b'shabosus v'yomim toivim. We'll go over this phrase. Portsin protzus is to break open, to create breaches in their garden walls, beganoseim and pardeseim, in their orchards. Lachil nishar, to enable fallen fruits, nishar, fruits that fell, that poor, the poor should, during years of famine, b'shnei batzoros, or during years of famine, the poor should be able to have access to fallen fruits, b'shabosos and yomim tovim. Of course, this gets involved with the problem of the trees, the fruits, as we discussed at the end of our previous year, the fruits that fell may very well have been attached to the tree at the entrance of Shabbos, and now on Shabbos they fell off, so that gets involved with a problem of muktzah. They were not available for Shabbos use, and yet they enabled them to have access to such fruits. The third practice of theirs, umatirin gamzius shel hekdish, shel choruv shel shikmar. Choruv and shikmar are two kinds of trees whose wood was of value. So they allowed the gamzius, the additional growth after the sanctification of those trees that had been sanctified by their forebears. The opinion of the Anshei Richo was that the basic tree, the original tree up till the point of sanctification, is that which becomes sanctified. However, additional growth after that is not sanctified. That, though, as we just learned, was Shiloh Baros Chomim. The Chomim did not approve of that. That's Divrei Rebbe Meir. So far, as up to this point, this is Rebbe Meir's presentation of the six practices of Anshei Richo. Omar Lo Rebbe Yehuda. In Barotzon Chachomim Hoyu Oisin, if the practice that they had been engaged in, the three practices, were with the approval of the sages, you call Adam Oisin Kainan, everyone should do that, and yet we don't find everyone doing those things. Eloelu v'elu sheloi Barotzon Chachomim Hoyu Oisin. Rather, all six were done without the approval of the sages. Al Shloisha Michu B'Adam, regarding three, there was protest against their behavior. Al Shloisha Lo Michu B'Adam, regarding the other three, they, though without approval, but it wasn't under protest. The Elu Shaloi Michu B'Adam, the following three were not protested. Markivim D'Kolim Kolayom, V'Korchen Es Shema, V'Kotzrin V'Goychen Lifnei Ha'Omer. The Elu Shemichu B'Adam, Matirin Gamzios Shel Hekdish V'Shel Chor V'Shel Shikma, Uportzin Protzos B'Noisehem U'Pardesehem V'Hachil Nishar Lanim V'Shavos V'Yom Toivim B'Shnei Batzores, and Noisin Peo Lierek, and they left the Peo. Peo is a tithe where a person leaves a corner of his field unharvested for the poor to benefit from. So that is something they left payoff from vegetables. And now vegetables are not chayev in the payoff tithe. They're not obligated to be left as payoff, and yet they left them as payoff. And the result of that was that tithes that should be removed from those vegetables were not removed, because basic payoff, when you leave payoff properly, it need not be tithed, the Truma and Meiser tithes that many of you are probably familiar with. So by having left something that really is exempt from payoff, they were thereby relieving them improperly of the necessary tithes that need be removed. Umichu b'yodam chachamim, the chachamim protested that. The Gemara asks, "V'savar Rabbi Yehuda k'tsira shaloi b'rotzon chachomim hi." You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star that you see above. So the stars, what they do is they connect you to the reference made above to Koitzrin, and it was mentioned by Rabbi Meir had mentioned Koitzrin Lifnei Omer was Baratzon Chachamim, but regarding that, Rabbi Yehuda said that was really Shaloi Baratzon Chachamim. So we're asking right now, is that really so that the that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the harvesting of the grains in Yericho was done Shaloi Baratzon Chachamim, that it was done without their approval? Here you have a clear statement that the ktsira, the harvesting of grains in Yericho before the Omer, was with their approval. However, their practice of piling up the harvested grains, that is not proper. V'lo michu biyodam chachamim. The chachamim did not protest their piling up, even though it was without their approval. This source does not have a name in it. We ask, or rhetorically, where we have man shamisle de'omar michu v'lo michu, who makes a distinction between michu versus lo michu? In this source, it said that their goyish of de'omar was without protest. Who makes mention to begin with of that? Of that issue of protesting versus not protesting, Rabbi Yehuda, the Katani. This is then a source authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and it says in this source, Koitzin beratzon chachamim, that the harvesting was done with the approval of the sages. Now, by the way, in general, one should be aware that the Omer is called in the Torah Reishis Ketzirchem. In other words, there should be really be no harvesting of grains before the bringing of the Omer. So to speak about harvesting before the Omer itself needs some explanation. So here we'll explain that the prohibition of harvesting before the Omer extends only to the kind of grain that would have been suitable to be brought as a mincha, as the Minchas HaOmer. However, grains growing in valleys, in low-lying regions, are not of the best quality. And as a result of that, the grains in Yericho wouldn't have been brought in the first place as the Minchas HaOmer offering. And as a result of that, so the prohibition of harvesting before the Omer doesn't extend to those grains. So, therefore, that could be done. However, there's still a problem of eating from the grains, even though you won't bring them as the Omer, but nevertheless, you're not allowed to eat from the new seasons, the new crop, until the bringing of the Omer. Hence, the prohibition, or the prohibition of gochin, because when you are piling up the grains, people might forget themselves and end up eating from them prematurely, before the bringing of the Omer. To get back to the main point, though, is that we have what appears to be a stira in Rabbi Yehuda's sources. On the one hand, we saw the bottom of Nun Vav and Aleph, the large source, Rabbi Yehuda indicating that Ktsira was Shelo Baratzon Chachamim, and in the smaller source we saw that Anshiricho Koitzrin Baratzon Chachamim. The Gemara answers. It answers and says that, you know, you're pointing out a kasha from a source that's not reliable. In other words, you cannot create a question unless the source information is something that's accurate. So the Gemara answers, the litameich, according to you that are trying to raise a contradiction, hani arbo havi. We have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Align that with the arrow that you see at the bottom of Omid Aleph, the lower part of Omid Aleph, and it mentioned in the source there were three things shelo michu biyodam. But when you count them up, when we've numbered them, you can see how we have a numbering scheme in the source. We get actually to 4 points. So is that not a problem in the accuracy of that source to begin with? Certainly is. Therefore, elasami mikan ktsira. Just delete the appearance of the word ktsira from that large source, And what then comes out is that what we originally thought was an expression of Rebuta saying that Ktsira Shelo Barotzel Cholom, that's not so. Ktsira doesn't even appear in that source. So Ktsira on the part of the Anshi Richo before the Omer was in fact Barotzel Chachomim according to Rebbe Yehuda, and hence no question. We continue in the Gemara. This is a continuation from the quotes, the Tanaic sources we saw already. And here we are talking about something that the Chachamim protested. Umatirin gamzios shel hekdesh, shel chorav shel shikma. The Anshei Richo permitted the aftergrowth, or the aftergrowth vis-a-vis the growth that took place after the sanctification of the trees, and the Chachamim protested that. Omru, the Anshei Richo figured, Avosenu lo higdishu elo koros. Our forebears, they sanctify koros. Koros is a reference to the trunk of the tree. And when we speak about koros, it means the trunk of the tree from which beams, koros literally are beams, the beams are made from the trunk of the tree. V'anu natir gamzios shel hekdesh shel chorav shel shikma. But that's all they sanctified was the trunk. They didn't sanctify the future growth. And therefore we will allow the gamzios, the future growth of the of those sanctified trees, the chorav trees and the shikma trees. The issue here is an issue of growth that comes after the sanctification. The Savri law, the Anshei Richo, are of the opinion that there is no mi'ila violation. That's a word about mi'ila. That's the prohibition of deriving personal benefit from something that has been sanctified. So they are of the opinion ein me'ila begidulin, that the subsequent growth does not arouse the me'ila prohibition. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan who protested their leniency are of the opinion he the me'ila laku, granted that there is no me'ila isura mi'o'iko, but there is a prohibition. You'll ask, what's the difference between me'ila and isura? In the case of Me'ila, Me'ila is a formal violation of benefiting from that which is sanctified, and one who does benefit has to pay for that which he benefited from, and also he brings a sacrifice called an Asham Me'ilois. When something is categorized as being prohibited, so if one does benefit, he doesn't bring, nevertheless, the sacrifice that one who is over on Me'ila would have brought. But it's important for the Gemara to point out that Mi'ila Leka, but Yisur Mi'iko, that explains why the Rabbonin who disagreed with the Anshei Richo, they protested their leniency. Uportzen Protzois B'Ganoisehem U'B'Pardesehem L'Achel Nishar L'Aniyim B'Shabbos and Yontif. We saw that they had created access for the impoverished to reach the nishar, the fruits that fell from the tree. We'll talk about from the date palms in the context of the Gemara we'll see right now. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written tamarim. These are dates, hanimtzoim, bishlavim shonim al hadek, on different levels, different positions on the palm tree, begovo, in the height of the palm tree. Under the Mivneh heading, where we feature a diamond, they represent Shnei Deos b'machokin u'bameh maskimim Anshei Richo v'Rabbanan. What is the point of disagreement, and what is the point of agreement between the Anshei Richo and the sages? You'll see we used a double underline to highlight the expressions machlekes, namely the point of controversy, and divrekol, point of agreement. So again, what we're going to be dealing with is the taking of fruits from the tree. Of course, no one is going to allow taking fruits that are attached. That's an Iser Doraisa, an Iser of Kotzer, for prohibition of harvesting, of removing something from that which from its source of growth. Omar Ula. Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, Machlikis, the controversy between Anshi Richo and the Rabbonin, Bishel Mechabdois. Mechabdois is a reference to the palm branches or leaves. It's a question how you classify the that which extends forth from the trunk of a palm tree. But in this case, we have to be more specific, and the Mechabdos is a reference to that which is on the upper part of the palm tree. So that if there were loose dates that were caught in the Mechabdos, so this was the machlokis between the Anshi Richo and the Chachomim. The Rabbonon Savri, Gazrinon Shemo Ya'alev Yitlosh. Since the Mechabdos are located high up on the tree, in order to get there, you have to, we'll say, climb a ladder in order to get there, but at that point, you're also close to the date clusters that are still attached to the tree, literally. In other words, the dates are still attached to their point of growth. So that the Rabbonon protested their practice of allowing access to these palms with regard to the dates that had collected on the Mechabdos, the upper part of the palm tree. And their Rabbonon's protest was based on this Gezeiro, Gazrinon Shemo Yale, we're afraid that they're going to climb up, Vietlosh, and actually remove dates from that which is attached still, to dates that were still literally attached to the tree. That would be an Iser Doraisa, of a Torah-level prohibition. Vanshi Richo Safri, the Richo people that did allow for this access, they hold Lo Gazrinon Shemo Yale, we're not going, they did not impose such a restriction out of fear that they would come to detach something that's actually still attached and growing from the tree. Avol, Bishel Bain HaKifin, this is different than Mechabdos. Kifin would be lower level branches, that which is located on the lower part of the tree. Divrei HaKol Mutar, everyone would agree, even the Chachamim would allow. Omerle Rabo, Vaha Muktzos Ninhu, Rabbo asks Ula, how can you say that on the dates that became detached and fell onto the lower part of the tree that everyone would agree is okay? Is there not a problem that these are muktzah? Means that at Bein HaShmoshes, upon the entrance of Shabbos, they were still attached to the tree. And the concept that we're dealing with here is that what are you allowed to use on Shabbos? That which you had in mind or were prepared or were available at the entrance of Shabbos for Shabbos use, but that which was attached to the tree, what kind of Shabbos use did it have for you? So we have a section of Gemara that it's a very involved discussion, and one can, in my estimation, get lost in the next 10 lines of intricate discussion. So we are going to take advantage of our marking system that features a bracketed section of Gemara, and we will then discover that there are internal brackets to this section. So in order to distinguish between the different type of bracketing and skipping, we use an angular, in this case we're using an angular brackets to set off the entire section, and internal circular shape brackets for the internal bracketing. So in the meantime, Rabbah asked the question, how can you say that Bein HaKif and Divrei HaKol Mutar, is it not a problem that those fruits that were caught on the lower part of the tree might very well have been attached to the tree when Shabbos set in? Now let's skip the angular brackets, use the bracket length indicator. So we're skipping down around 8 lines or so, and after the brackets we encounter the answer immediately. Muchon le'orvim have muchon le'adam. Orvim are a type of bird that wealthy people would raise in captivity, call them pets. One is entitled, now these birds ate dates. Dates, even those that were attached to the tree, had, we'll call it, relevance to your pet birds. So these attached fruits were not muktzah, To consider them mukta means they would be set away from you, set aside from any Shabbos use. Not true. The orvim that you are raising, and you're entitled to, you're expected to take care of their food needs. So you are, as Rashi says, mutur lahamidom aleim laochlam. You can position the birds near the attached fruits in order to eat from them. And after the brackets, the Gemara says, muchan orvim havi muchan ladam. That which is available, is muchan, is reserved or set aside for the benefit of your birds, is also considered available to you. And the reason for that is, kol midi dechozi l'inish, anything that has the potential value or is fit for man, daite luye, it's on your mind. Now, daite luye is also expressed by the term muchan, is prepared for you. So since it has value to your birds, it also has value to you, being that it's something, the dates are something that a person can benefit from as well. Now, you need to have the bird factor in here, because birds are not, it's not prohibited for the bird, if it wants to eat from something that is attached to the tree. Okay, now let us go back over the section again, and we're going to probably read this Gemara a couple of times. First, we want to demonstrate the we'll call it the easy method of learning the Gemara in order to keep track of the flow and not get sidetracked with details, and then we'll read through the whole Gemara again with in a straightforward fashion. So, in the meantime, Rabbah objected, as we saw, to the statement made by Ula that Bein Akif and Divrei Kol Mutar. Rabbah said, "Is there not a muktzah problem?" We got to the answer immediately. It's not a muktzah problem. Muchan Lorvim, Muchan Ladam. Now we go into the brackets, and here, as Rabbah asks his question, take note of the fact that it's essentially a long question lasting about six lines. So Rabbah asks, are the dates that are found Bein Akifin, in fact, are they not Muktza? V'chiteima, you might have said, Hoyul dechozi l'orvin, since they are fit for the birds, even though they are Mechubar, so they are not Muktza. But that's not true. Hashta muchan l'odam, lo have a muchan l'klovim, something that was designated for human consumption is not available anymore for dogs. Skipping the brackets, muchan l'orvin have a muchan l'odam. Could you possibly think the other way, that if it's muchan for a bird, it will be muchan for a man? Let's go over the point again. Mind you, something that's fit for a man is not fit for your animals. Something that's fit for your animals will be said to be fit for you? Well, Amale, Ula answers, in, that is correct. Muchan l'adam lo havi muchan l'klavim. Something that's fit for man is not available, is not set aside for your animals. Skipping the brackets, the angular brackets. However, muchan li'orvim is muchan li'odam. Something that's fit for the animals is fit for people. Kol midi dechazi li'inish da'itilei. Anything that a person is fit for a person, he doesn't disconnect his mind from it. And as such, it's considered muchan. Muchan is the opposite of muktzah. So there is no muktzah problem. Let's go over the Gemara again. I hope that we're not wearing out your patience, but we're trying to show how you read the essential part of the Gemara, and then in these brackets, really what the Gemara does is gives background to the assumptions that the Gemara was making. So there's background information within the brackets, background or explanatory information, but it's not, it doesn't represent the actual flow of the give and take. So now, once again, let's read the Gemara. This time, for the last time, we'll read it straight through. After having heard Ula say that the fruits that are caught, Bein Akif, on the lower branches of the palm tree, everyone will agree, even the Chachom will agree, that it's Mutter on Shabbos. Rabbah had asked, "Is that, are they not Muktzah?" Omer le Rabbah, V'hom Muktzah Sninu? V'chitemo. We're starting the bracketed, the angular bracketed section. V'chitemo hoil dechazi le'orvin. You might say, well, you know why it's not a muksa problem? Because it's fit for the birds. It's fit for your pet birds to eat on Shabbos, even if the dates are still attached to the tree. Well, that can't be. That can't be an explanation. Hashta muchan li'odam, lohavi muchan li'klovim. Something that's fit or reserved for a man is not. You can't give it to your dogs. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda deals with an issue of an animal that at the entrance of Shabbos was alive. In the course of Shabbos, the animal dropped dead. It is then a nevela. But at the entrance of Shabbos, for whom was the animal designated? It was designated for human consumption, an animal that you eventually could slaughter and benefit from the meat. It dropped dead on Shabbos proper. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda say about that? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo hoisin nevelim erev Shabbos, if it wasn't dead meat, at the entrance of Shabbos, from before Shabbos, asura, it's, you cannot give that to your dogs, the animal that died on Shabbos. Lufi she'eno min ha-muchan. It wasn't muchan for the dogs. So you see from here that something that is muchan for a person, namely the animal, the live animal, the entrance of Shabbos, muchan for a person, it's not muchan for the dogs. Muchan li'orvim havei muchan li'odam. Could you possibly think that if it's muchan for the lesser entity, for the mere animals, for the birds, it would be muchan for a person? Amar lei, Ula says, in fact, that is the case. In muchan li'odam, lo havi muchan leklovim. Something that is designated for human consumption is not fit to give to the dogs. The chomidi, the chazilinish, lo maksilei midaiti. Something that is available ultimately for the human use. A person doesn't put it out of his mind for the dogs. The person doesn't disconnect himself from it. Therefore, if you have an animal, let's say that was alive, a cow that was alive at the entrance of Shabbos, your mind was for your use and not for your dog's benefit. And that's how your mind was thinking at the entrance of Shabbos. You were lo matzilei migaita. You didn't put it out of your mind for yourself. That's why something that's muhan for Adam is not muhan for the dogs. However, muhan l'orvim, something that is fit or is available for animal, for bird use, havei muhan l'adam, it is available for human use. Kol midi dechazi l'inish, something that is fit for man, daiti eluya, his mind is on it. He didn't disconnect himself from those dates. Ki osa rovin. Omar, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Notice this is a diamond number two, a second presentation of under what circumstances there is a machlokas regarding these dates and under what circumstances there is agreement. And we also are noting ahead of time that this is a more stringent approach. So when Ravin came, he said in the name of Rish Lakish, machlokas b'shel bein kifin. The machlokas between Anshei Yericho and the Chachomim and the sages was regarding the dates that had fallen to the lower part of the tree. The Rabbanan Savri, Muchan Li'orvim, Lo Havei Muchan Adam. The Rabbanan take a strict approach, not like that which Ula had said before, but rather the Rabbanan, according to Rish Lakish, the Rabbanan will tell you that if something is Muchan Li'orvim, it's not Muchan for man. And that's why they protested. The Anshei Yericho Safri Muchan Li'orvim Havei Muchan Li'odam. Something that's a fit for animals is considered available for man. Aval B'shel Mechabdois. But as far as the dates on the upper part of the tree, Divrei HaKol, also everyone will, even the Anshei Yericho would not have allowed that, the taking of dates from the upper part of the tree. The fear is that once you're climbing to the heights, you'll end up coming to take from the where the dates themselves are still growing from the tree on the upper part of the tree, thereby violating a Torah level prohibition. So everyone will agree that regarding the mechabdos, even though they're technically detached, but it's so easy to come to a Torah level violation. The noisnin peo liyerek, another practice of the Anshei Yericho that aroused the opposition of the sages, was their leaving the peo tithe to the poor from vegetables. The question is, how could the Anshei Richo have justified their practice when it's so well known that Peah is not left from vegetables? The rules of Peah are expressed in the following source. Now, once again, we are going to be using our brackets in order to be able to focus on the question. And after we've got the question down, then we go back over the details. And that's what the note says regarding the starred note regarding these brackets. So, Graim Lashem Diluk De Lagia Miyad Li Ikra Kusha. We're using the brackets in order for you to be able to skip and get to the heart of the question, the immediately main point. So now the Gemara asks, and notice we used a long question marking as well. The topic of this sugi under the Nosei heading is very simply Peah Liyerek. The Gemara asks, V'les lehu la'anshi yericho ha'desnan, did the Anshei Richo not accept that which is taught in the following Tanaic source? Now skip the section, the bracketed section. It says in this source, it says, U'machniso l'kium, point number hey in the source was that Peah is left from that which you store. Machnis l'kium means you harvest it and gather it for long-term storage. And that concept of machnis l'kium prat liyerek, to the exclusion of vegetables. Vegetables are, generally speaking, have a relatively short lifetime. You don't fill up silo fulls of tomatoes or of lettuce. So those kind of items are, because they are not machniso l'kium, therefore they don't have one of the qualifications needed in order to be obligated in Peah. So the question very simply is, did the Anshei Richo not accept this basic halacha concerning what is obligated in Peah? The answer will follow afterwards. But now let's go over the entire contents of the brackets. The Gemara asks, once again, do the Anshei Richo, in having set aside Peah from Yerek, do they not hold from the source that delineates the qualifications or the requirements for Peah? Disnan klal amru b'Peah. A rule was said regarding that which is obligated in Peah. Kol shehu oichel v'nishmar v'gidulo min ha'oretz u'lekitoso ka'achas u'machniso l'kiyum chayov b'Peah. Anything that has all five of these qualifications, then it's obligated in Peah. And let us go ahead in the Gemara where each one will be spelled out. Kol shu ochel, the Aleph, the first rule was, it has to be food. Prat l'sfiche setis v'koitso, to the exclusion of these growths, the free-growing setis and kotso plants. They were used primarily for dyes, not for eating. So if a person has a field of setis or kotso plants, he does not, if he has, let's say in his field he has sfichim, are things that grow on their own, and the person has in his property the sfichim of setis and kotso, he doesn't leave Peah from that. A second qualification, vinishmar, something that is guarded, that is fenced off, prat lehefker, to the exclusion of something that's unowned. If you encounter a field of unknown growth, unowned, so you don't leave Peah from that. V'gidulo minoret, something that grows from the ground, prat lekmeinu pitrus, to the exclusion of food items like kamein and pitrus, includes things like mushrooms and truffles that are they're fungus growths. They don't their growth is not from the ground. It's they're certainly not rooted entities. They grow from that which is in the atmosphere and might accumulate on the ground, but its growth is not from the ground. It doesn't derive its nutrition from the ground. Ulekitaso ka'achas, an item that is harvested in a particular at one time. Prat l'teinim, to the exclusion of dates, of figs, that is. Figs, the nature of figs is that they are, and we'll call it during the fig season, during the summertime, there are you could take off some of the figs while other figs are still ripening. They don't ripen all together at the same time, so they're not harvested kachas at once. So figs would be exempt from peah. Umachniso l'kiyum, what is obligated to pay? Something that is stored up for the on a long term basis. Prat li'erek, to the exclusion of vegetables. So what motivated or what caused the Anshei Yericho to set aside payoff from a garden or a field of vegetables? Omar Yehuda, Omar Rav, Hocha beroshe liftois askinon. Liftos is the name of some type of vegetable. The roshe liftos, Rashi explains, four lines from the end of the Rashi commentary, Ale halefes, the leaves of the lefes vegetable, machnisin oisam lekium ayadeho imohes. This was a type of vegetable, called a type of maybe bulbous vegetable, it's called the basic vegetable, maybe the root, if you will, and the leaves that grew forth from it. So what was done is that the ale halefes, which might very well have been the edible part of it, or that which people ate, was the leaves were stored. They were machnes lekium when they were together with the bulbs, the imos. So, are the roshi liftos machnis lekium? So the Gemara explains, umachniso lekium al yedei dover acher komifligi, something that's stored up, but it's only able to be stored up because it's attached to something else. Does that make the leaves machniso lekium? More so far, the Anshei Yericho hold, machnis lekium al yedei dover acher shmei kium, something that is stored because it's attached to something else, that is considered machniso lekium. And more so far, the Rabbanon hold lo shmei kium, that is not considered something that is stored up, and when it can't be stored on its own, so it's not considered machniso lekium, and hence according to Rabbanon it would be exempt from peah. And we explained before that the problem was by leaving it as peah, the other tithes, the truma and meiser tithes, would not be separated from it, and you're thereby wrongfully, these people, the aniyim that would collect from the pay of the Ale Yerek, of the Ale Lefes, would wrongfully be denying the Levium and the Kehanim of that which they deserve to receive. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a house marking, and the house marking highlights two Tanaic sources, two Brisos, and it's a continuation of our topic. Tana Rabbana Barishana Hoyu Noisin Peo Lelefes Ulekruv Rabbi Yossi Omer Af Lekaflot. This one source says that originally they would leave Peo from the Lefes vegetable and the Kruv vegetable, and Rabbi Yossi adds Af Lekaflot. Now there's a star. Notice the start comment, and we've written the following: Saka Daitoch the Af the Komer Rabbi Yossi, the Af that Rabbi Yossi says is the af, the koma Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Shimon. And the next source we're going to see also the word af. Af means even this. Hainu shelefi shnehem noisin peya mikulam. Whether you're going according to Rabbi Yossi or according to Rabbi Shimon, peya will be left from all of these things: the lefes, the kruv, and kaflot. So if you ask Rabbi Yossi and ask Rabbi Shimon, according to the havamin of the Gemara, peya, they would have left peya from all three: Lefes, Kaflin, and Kruv. Ubozeh nire shiesh gimel deos. And if you accept that, Havamina, it would come out that there would be three opinions. The first opinion was they would leave the Anshei Yericho left peah from Lefes and Kruv. Rabbi Yossi holds not only just from Lefes and Kruv, but from Kaflin as well, three things. That's there. You got two opinions, and the Tanakama of the next source, which we didn't read yet, holds that they left peah from lefes and kaflut. So you have one opinion saying lefes and kruv, second opinion lefes, kruv, kaflut, third opinion saying lefes and kaflut. Lamaskona, we're going to see at the end of the Gemara, when the Gemara presents its answer, that the word af that they were using was only as an addition to the what we have in our markings called the Aleph. The Aleph in our markings highlights the word lefes. They were adding one thing to the Tanakama. So now, with that introduction in mind, another point that we made, we have another starred comment, a double starred comment, and the Heora is, the other margin, the double starred comment says, L'chol ha-deos nosnin pe'o l'lefes shuhu ois aleph. There's, according to all the deos that we're going to see here, they were leaving pe'o from the lefes. So now let's go over the Gemara again. Tana Rabbanan, Rishona Yonosin Peo, Lalefes, Ulakruv, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Lekaflut. Vitanya Idoch, the second source says, Yonosin Peo, Lalefes, Ulakaflut, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Lekruv. So as we said before, when you focus in on Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, they are adding to whatever their respective Tanakamas had said. Now, the result of that, it would come out then that Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon are agreeing with one another that Peah would be left from all three, Lefes, Kruv, and Taflit. But if you learn that way, you then have three opinions. Nema, Tlosa, Tanoi, Havu. Should we say that there are three different opinions? And by rule of thumb, when you go through many Gemaras, you discover that we try to reduce the amount of controversy when possible. So at this point, we're saying there are three opinions. The Gemara says loi trei tanoi havu. There really are two Tanaic opinions. Once you take into consideration both of these sources, you'll see there are really two Tanaic opinions. Before we continue with the Gemara, go back to the bottom of Omen Aleph. The word af that both Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon are using indicates that they are adding something to only the lefes mentioned by their respective Tanakamas. So that Reb Yossi, I hope everyone is looking at the sources at the bottom of the previous Omid Beis, of Nun Vav Omid Beis. Rabbi Yossi says, Af Lekaflut. What is Rabbi Yossi saying? He's saying that the Anshi Yericho would leave Peah from Kaflut in addition to the Lefes. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, what is he saying? Lefes and Kaflut. Take note of the second house source. What does the Tanakama say there? He says the same thing, Lefes and Kaflut. What the Gemara will tell us is that the Tanakama in the second source is, in fact, one and the same as Reb Yossi. Take a look at Reb Shimon in the second source, the very end of Omid Beis, of Nun Vav Omid Beis, Reb Shimon Omer Af LeKruv. What is Af doing there? Reb Shimon is adding Kruv to Lefes. So what's Reb Shimon saying? He's saying that they would leave Peah from Lefes and Kruv. Notice the Tanakama in the first source. What did they leave Peah from? Lefes and Kruv. So the Tanakama of Reb Yossi is in fact Rebbe Shimon. So that after all is said and done, there are only two opinions. And there's no one here that's saying you would leave they would have left the payoff from all three vegetables. There are only two opinions between these two sources. And it's a machlokis then between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. And that's what the Gemara is going to tell us now at the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there are not three opinions. Lo, trei, tanoi, havu. There are only two Tanaic opinions altogether over here. The Tanakama de Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama de Rabbi Yossi, Hainu Rabbi Shimon. As we illustrated. Omai af, and what does the word af that each one was using? Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, a ko maisa. It was going on the aleph vegetable in both sources, which just happened to be lefes. Lefes was aleph in the first source and in the second source. And Rabbi Yossi was adding to lefes, he added kaflut, and Rabbi Shimon added to lefes kruv. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are arguing as to, in addition to lefes, what else did they leave as payah. Before we conclude, we'll continue just with the next source before we actually close our shiur for today. Tana Rabbanan, Ben Bohain. Bohain was a person's name. This source features the son of Bohain. Ben Bohain, Nosan Peah Lyerek. He left Peah from a garden of vegetables. Ubo Oviv, Umotson Lanim Shayatunin Yerek, V'Oimden Al Pesach Hagina. And the father, it's Bohain, came and found the poor, who are the ones entitled to take Peah in general. So he found the poor standing at the entrance to the garden, holding bundles of yerek, which they took as peah. Amar lahem, he said to them, Bohain said to these poor people, Bonai ashlichu me'alechem, cast away, throw down the vegetables you have, ani noisein lochem kiflayim b'me'usar, and I'll give you twice as much of whatever you gathered from vegetables that have been tithed. Lo mitnei she'einai tzara, don't think that I am miserly. The reason I don't want you to take the vegetables that you took untithed vegetables, and the Chachamim said that Peah is not to be left from Yerek. And as we explained already several times, by taking vegetables as Peah, you will then end up not tithing the required tithes. Because in general, something that is obligated in Peah does not need to have tithes removed from that which you gathered as peah, but this shouldn't have been gathered as peah in the first place. Lomo le lameimro lehu lo mipnei she'einai tzara. Why did he have to announce to them that I am not miserly? After all, they saw that afterwards he was going to give them twice as much. The Rashi about halfway down says, "Lo malei lameimar lohen lo mitnei she'einai tzara v'chalei ha ka yohiv lohen kiflayim." He is giving them twice as much. Umechse chazu delo ayin tzorahi, and they see he's quite obviously not a miserly person. So why did he have to tell them that? So the Gemara goes on and answers, "Ki hechi delo lemru," so that they shouldn't think when he said to them, throw it down, they shouldn't think that he is simply trying to push us off. Rashi says, the lo nemru dechuye madchilon, the lo yitein lanu klum, the ma lo litol zu velitein pishnayim, lefiko chutzruch lefarish lem taimo shel davar, so as that they shouldn't get the wrong impression, because it didn't make so much sense as he approached them and said, throw down that which you have. What were they to think when he said that? So he had to explain to them why he was telling them to do that, so that they shouldn't think that he's just fooling them or what have you. At this point then, we are about to conclude. Just let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.